Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Drake, I know we're a long way off from knowing the answer to this maybe, but do you want to start day one? And have you had any conversations about what your track is going to be towards doing that in the in minicamp or beyond that?
I think that's obviously the goal, for myself and any rookie quarterback coming to the NFL, but also, I think it's, great opportunity for getting there and learn from Jacoby, learn from the older guys, the other vets around there, and just, put my best foot forward. I think, for me, just want to earn the respect of the guys and get to know them first. But obviously all the stuff on the field will come after that. So looking forward to help the Patriots anyway. Obviously, it's the goal, but ready for, anything that happens. And I think, one of the best things about being a 21-year-old coming in there is, get ready to learn and to soak it all in. And, if I'm the best guy, I think Coach Mayo's kind of said that. He said that publicly, if the best guy's going to play. So if it happens to me, I'm ready to go. And if not, I'm going to prepare like it and compete and learn and as much as I can from the other guys to get ready to do that.
Drake May yesterday, first radio appearance in Boston here on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI. If you missed any of it, rewind feature on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. We were thinking about locking Arcan out of the studio.
What's going on, Adam? What's going on, man? Y'all doing all right?
Hey, Drake. But he was present and accounted for the interview.
And he did well.
Oh, I think that was easily the newsiest thing that came out of
it. Yeah, he asked the best questions. Good job, Arcan.
Yeah, great. Thanks, job, guys. Arcan. Phenomenal.
Thank you.
And so he wants to play week one. Best guy's going to play. Who's the best guy? And will the Patriots actually follow through on that? Gerard Mayo has said the same thing. I've heard how Gerard Mayo and Elliott Wolf talk about Jacoby Brissett. They make him sound like he's a veteran there for the young player to bring him along. They don't talk about him like the starting quarterback of the team. So I think Drake May should start week one. And I know not everybody agrees with that, but fine, whatever. I think he should. I also think he will. Like, I think they're going to start him week one. That's a prediction. We have no way of knowing other than judging the way they're talking about it, judging how he's talking about it. We're going to talk to Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros. I know he disagrees. He hated the Patriots draft. That's at 3:30. We also have another pair of tickets to give away here on a 2 for Tuesday on WEEI to Red Sox and Giants on Thursday at Fenway Park. So stay tuned for that. You think the Patriots will let him start week one? If he's the better guy, Mego, do you think they'll let him start week one?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think he's going to be the better guy. So I'm trying to work through this. Where I'm getting tripped up with this is that I really thought that with Elliott Wolf's Packers background, that they would be coming in here saying, we have a development plan for Drake May. And maybe they'll still do that.
I know,
and they'll
but just real quick, you said that before, and I've said in Cleveland, they started Baker Mayfield year one, and they did not have a quarterback in it. Like, it was easy to sit Aaron Rodgers and easy to sit Jordan Love. They had Brett Favre and Rodgers in front of them.
So this is where I get tripped up, is that Jerod Mayo keeps calling it a quarterback competition before they even see him against any kind of NFL level players. And so I feel like he's not leaving the door open. He's opening the door and like waving everybody in to say, I want this kid to be starting as soon as possible. Because if you take someone at 3 overall and you say you're putting them in a quarterback competition against an early 30s vet in Jacoby Brissett, who was a backup last year, and that kid doesn't win the job, then you're setting up the number 3 pick to look really bad. And that's where I've kind of shifted. Like, do I think he should play week one? Not really. From everything that I've read and seen and about the footwork, and it did stick with me what Dan Orlovsky said the other day about, like, mistakes can really compound in his development if he's just trying to survive in a game. Like, I think that could be a real thing, and it makes sense to me. All that to say, I think they're setting him up to play as early as possible and get butts back in seats in Gillette, and they know that that will make the Crafts happy for at least the very near future.
Yeah, so look, if that's the main motivation, it's the wrong motivation. Like,
Think that's a motivation, though?
No, I don't think it's the main motivation, no.
I think it's a motivation.
I think it's probably somewhere on the list, but that shouldn't be the main motivation. It shouldn't be to fill up Gillette Stadium. The main motivation should be playing the best guy. And by the way, if it's even close, let's say Jacoby Brissett slightly outplays him in training camp and passing camp in the preseason. Let's say Brissett's even a little bit better. If it's close, he should be starting week one because he just got to the NFL. Brissett's been here for a decade. There's no upside. We know what he is. If Drake May shows up on day one and is close with Brissett, he should be starting. Even if he's a touch behind, I said this about Mack and Cam a few years ago as well. He should be starting. Do you think they'll give him the opportunity to, Arkin?
Yes, I do, but I'm not sure that it'll happen week one. I don't know that week one is going to be when this happens. I think if they're close, but
well,
it seems like...
Will they give him the opportunity to start week one?
Start week one, I'd say if they're close, but Brissett's better, no, I don't think so. I think that they'll let him back up for a couple weeks, and then once they realize, hey, this isn't really working out with Brissett all that well, they'll go to Drake May. But I think that's what this season's going to be. It's going to be sort of an experiment, and I don't think you're going to see, all right, we're putting Drake May in right now. We have expectations to compete right away. We're going to leave him there come hell or high water, even if he has a bunch of bad games in a row. I think they're going to treat him very carefully. I think he'll play, but I don't think he starts right away.
Okay, what do you guys think? Should he be given the opportunity? Does it need to be close? Does he have to beat out Jacoby Brissett to get the job? Should he sit no matter what? 617-779-7937. You heard Drake May there. Best guy's going to play. That's how he feels about it. That's what it sounds like he's been promised and told. So they better follow through on that based on his answer to us yesterday here on WEEI. Meanwhile, Mike Reese wrote about Drake May today. It was a lot of stuff from the podium and quotes and clips that we played, but there was some reporting behind the scenes that he had. He writes, in the weeks leading up to the NFL draft, team sources acknowledged that legacies would be tied to who they decided to take at quarterback. They were operating with the mindset that without a top quarterback, their regime wouldn't have a chance. Okay, so that's interesting. It's not just if he fails, we're screwed. If we don't bring in a quarterback, our regime won't have a chance. Probably, because Elliott Wolf knows if he didn't draft a quarterback, he wouldn't be given an extension. Probably. By the time their scouting process was complete for the 2024 draft, Reese continues, Mayo said the Patriots most like three quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, May. Those are three best quarterbacks in the draft. Doesn't sound like J.J. McCarthy was much of a consideration. Thus, a trade package out of number three would have had to blow them away to consider moving down to the next tier of quarterback options. A source said the Giants had offered the number six pick and the 2025 first-round pick, while the Vikings were ultimately willing to part with 11-23 and a 2025 first-rounder in exchange for a third-round pick and two mid-round selections from New England. I guess Burt Breer's had additional reporting on this. There were a bunch of pick swaps in there that were going to be favorable to Minnesota. But clearly, neither of those proposals met the criteria for the bag, quote-unquote, that Mayo said the Patriots would have needed to be okay with trading the pick. That explains why the Pats called May immediately when they were on the clock at number three. Adam Schefter had more on this. He was on the McAfee show yesterday. Adam Schefter, what do you know about the Vikings' offer to the Patriots?
Okay. Yeah, Shefty, at three and even two, what was the best offer? Because obviously Minnesota, there was a lot of talk of them moving up. Did they ever offer one of their, you know, premier players? And same with even like a Raiders situation. Did they ever offer one of their top dogs, or was it just, you know, the first round picks of this year and next year?
Connor wants me to say that the Vikings offered Justin Jefferson to get up to number three. Well,
did
right?
they? Did they
no,
or not?
No, they did not. Okay. They did not offer that. Yeah. They offered various pick packages to come up there. The Vikings had the most discussions with the Patriots. And on Thursday, I texted somebody in New England. I'm like, any chance this gets done? And the text I got back a few hours before the draft was zero chance. Zero.
Hell yeah.
So clearly, the Patriots were determined to stick where they were. They knew, like everybody else, that Caleb Williams was going one, that Jaden Williams was going two, and that they were going to be able to take Drake May.
Jaden Daniels, there, Shefty. Best newsman in the business. It's Jaden Daniels. But
like, I will, you said Jaden Williams. I'm going to go with Shefter.
I will tell you, when it comes to the Vikings offers and the Giants offers, so much for the whole league loving Drake May and trading way up and like the Patriots having all this conviction and saying no to all these trades. They were garbage trade offers.
Yeah, I'm not impressed by those offers at all. Like, is that as far as they possibly got? That was the final offer that they dangled out there, because that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. I mean, those aren't even tempting.
No, I agree, but it also tells you, like, this idea that, like, the Vikings were giving up...
We're so thirsty.
...four future first-rounders and Justin Jefferson because they love Drake May so much, that wasn't a thing. And Schefter went on to say the Giants may not even have been moving up for Drake May. They might have been moving up for Joe Alt. And so it's like, look, I like Drake May. The Patriots, I think, are overplaying how much they like Drake May.
Yeah,
and
that's a really big her.
And clearly the league wasn't as out for Drake May as we were told to believe. Now, I still like the pick. It's the whole reason I like their draft. Without taking Drake May at three, I would hate their draft. But that floats their whole draft for me. But it just tells you how the rest of the league viewed Drake May. They weren't as over the top as we were led to believe.
Arkan, does that make you feel very happy?
It does, sort of. But I also think that what the Falcons did really threw that all into the blender, because if Penix was still available at the end or at the end of that run of Denver and Minnesota and Vegas, then I think that, you know, they would have been like, all right, well, we're just taking Penix then. But when he went off the board, I bet they all regretted not making that trade with three, or not making the offer a little bit better, because I don't think anybody expected that. Everyone expected there to be six quarterbacks all through pick 13, and then they're gone by the time you get to 12. So for the Raiders in particular, I mean, I think they probably botched that pretty bad.
You can jump in on the Patriots, their pick at three. How you
feel like they did.
How you feeling about Drake May? Should he play week one? Will they let him play week one? It sounds like he's been told if he's the best guy, he's going to play. So will they follow through on that? They should, and I think they will. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937. You can also weigh in on our big question of the day. Can the Celtics win a championship without Kristaps Porzingis? 55% of you say yes. 45% say no. A few more texts here at 37937. Jones, I like the optimism. Jones is the only one talking any sense here. These are so positive on the text line today. They're a super team even without Porzingis. You're all treating the Nuggets like they're the Warriors. Also, this one, how much more support do the Jays need? Losing KP sucks, but there's no excuse. That's really how I feel about it. It's like if Porzingis is out there, great. And that's another bonus. But they shouldn't need him to win. And saying it's all about Porzingis really takes the heat off Tatum and Brown and gives them every excuse under the sun. And they've already had a lot of them. I've provided them with some in the past with Marcus Smart. No more. This team's good enough to win with or without Porzingis, in my estimation. We're going to talk to Thor Nystrom, Fantasy Pros. Gave the Patriots an F in the draft. Does not like Drake May. Shocker, doesn't really like any of their picks. So we'll talk to him. He's at 3:30, and we have another pair of tickets to give away on 2 for Tuesday here on WEEI, Red Sox and Giants on Thursday at Fenway Park. Stay tuned for it right after Trending with Arkan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
It's Jones and Mego with Arcan.
Arcan, it's so good to hear from you.
Why don't you just talk to
Arcan? Arcan, why don't you talk?
I don't know. I zoned out after he said that nice thing about me. I didn't listen to the rest of it. It's so good to catch right
on WEEI.
Bill Belichick, I know everybody loves him, was allergic to offense. He's got great stories. That's awesome. He's the best defensive coach ever. That's also great. He doesn't know what he's doing offensively with personnel. The last eight drafts will tell you this. So Jerod Mayo, one of his better players, comes in. He's the new coach. 7 of 8 picks, offense. The first 5 picks, offense. I've watched most of these guys play. It's the anti-Belichick draft.
You hear that? Cowherd's watched most of them play.
Wow.
The anti-Belichick draft. 7 out of 8 offensive players. I think that's fair. I know Ryan hates Cowherd, and he was annoyed that he had to roll in this clip before the show. But
that is brilliant.
What's unfair about it? It's the anti-Belichick draft.
I didn't say it was unfair.
I haven't heard anyone else call it the anti-Belichick draft.
Because
it's really
we're not as smart as Cowherd, obviously.
I thought it was a nice, snappy little way to get into the draft.
It does have a ring to it.
Yeah, the anti-Belichick draft. I do like how much Ryan hates Cowherd.
I love Cowherd. He's so.
Have I asked you this before? Because John in the car has put me on the spot. He's like, oh, if you couldn't read mock drafts or listen to Cowherd, what would you choose? And I said, ultimately, I would give up mock drafts.
You would give up mock drafts before Cowherd?
They're seasonal.
Oh. And Cowherd delivers all year long.
Yeah, and I don't mean to put down mock
like
drafts.
Like UPS, baby.
Because we're going to be talking to Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros coming up here less than 10 minutes from now. We also have a pair of tickets to give away.
You're not putting them down. You're expressing how much you love them.
It's just, but if I got to choose, I'm taking my guy Cowherd. We have 2 tickets to give away as well, part of a 2 for Tuesday, about 5 minutes from now. So stay tuned for that. But you have a choice, Ryan, between the Heat and Cowherd. You can only rip one. Who are you choosing?
I mean,
again, it's seasonal.
I think
it is seasonal.
You got to rip Cowherd.
And hate is so much stronger than love.
No, the Heat, it's still fun to rip the Heat because there's still people like, oh, my God, if Jimmy Butler was playing, they'd lose by 10 instead of 20. Like, there's still, I got to convert some people.
If Butler's playing, this is a series.
If Butler's
playing, I still believe that.
There's no way this is a series.
That's how I feel about it, but there's no way to prove it. One other thing that I was putting off proving, but I finally saw the text enough. I think it was all from the same number, 37937. You guys all know the number. It was that Jones, you keep saying they're 21-4 without Porzingis. All the teams he sat against suck. Go look it up. And I saw that text enough times where I'm like, okay, I will go look it up. How many of these teams suck? Here's who we missed games against this year. Philly, Atlanta, not a good team. Chicago, not a good team.
These are all teams that were technically playoff teams, though.
Philly again. Indiana.
Playoffs.
Orlando.
Playoffs.
The Warriors.
Playoffs.
Clippers.
No, not playoffs. Playoffs.
Toronto's bad.
Bad.
Minnesota.
Pretty good.
Mego thinks they're going to win the title.
They could.
The Spurs. Spurs, bad team. Dallas. Clippers. Pelicans, real schmeb, but they were in the playoffs.
All playoff teams.
Brooklyn, Phoenix, Portland, bad team. Utah, bad team. Phoenix again. Washington, terrible team. Chicago and Milwaukee. That's who he missed until the final couple of games of the year when they sat everybody.
Not like, Denver.
Like, look, I'm telling you. Yeah, no. And they were. And what do you know? They were 0-2 against Denver. So all I'm telling you is I don't think it was all garbage teams he sat against. I'm not telling you that's he sat against played against all the good teams and sat against the bad teams like the Texter. And there were some bad teams on the list for sure. But that wasn't like he sat against all the dregs of the league. I don't agree with that. Meanwhile, I don't know if anyone agrees with Thor Nystrom on the Patriots draft. We finally got a grade out of Mego. Oh, no, we didn't get a grade out of Mego yesterday, did we?
We got an incomplete.
I graded incomplete. B. Yeah, so that's a no. Arcan, you graded it a what?
I gave it a C.
I graded it a B almost entirely off of Drake May. Like, the rest of the draft I can take or leave. But I graded it a B. You're still incomplete, or did you decide to grade it?
No, I'm not grading it.
Okay.
I plead the fifth.
Okay, Thor Nystrom did his job. Fantasy Pros, F. By my numbers, he says, the Patriots spent the fourth most draft capital in the NFL. But they squandered the most draft equity in the NFL. We need some answers as to what this means.
Whoa, this is like economics in college. Well, I was not good in that class.
Well, finishing number 31 in ROI, return on investment.
Nice.
This is, of course, an analysis based solely on pick value against prospect value, as my board sees it. And to be fair, many rank Drake May above the number 8 slot where I had him in my rankings. I feel like this is like Bill, where Bill would like rip Drake May and he's like, Drake May sucks, and then he had him 5th on his big board. So Thor Nystrom does not like Drake May.
Is that anti-Belichick draft?
He still had him 8. That's a good point. He says, outside of Javon Baker, the steal on Saturday, he could ascend to wide receiver duties in New England very, very quickly. So we should ask him about Javon Baker because he likes him. 4 of the next 5 picks after May were egregious reaches. The first of those, and I'll focus on this, Jalen Polk. He may be fool's gold. These numbers are great. I mean, I have no idea if Polk can play or not, but I had not read these anywhere else. Polk posted 69 catches,
nice,
1,159 yards, and 9 touchdowns last year. It looks pretty good on the surface, right? But he was Washington's clear number 3.
3?
Behind Roma Dunze and Jalen McMillan when all 3 were healthy.
Uh-oh.
Polk didn't become a bigger facet of the offense until McMillan went down last year. In the 5 games after McMillan's injury, Polk exceeded 100 yards 4 times. But in the 7 games of 2023, from the start of November through the end of the CFP run, against the heart of Washington's schedule when McMillan was out there, Polk returned to his original backseat wide receiver 3 role, posting a pedestrian 23 catches, 323 yards, 2 touchdowns. That included 2 games where Polk was healthy and active, but was held to 0 catches.
Good boy.
New England also got caught on the wrong side of an epic early offensive line run. They multiplied that problem by forcing a pair of picks at the position, Caden Wallace and Laydon Robinson, and reaching on prospects who had more risk in their evaluation than safer prospects at the same position. So he doesn't like the tackle they got. He thinks Polk is fool's gold. He produced when McMillan was out of there, but he wasn't. When everybody was fully healthy, he was the number 3 option in Washington's offense. So he thinks Polk is a reach. I don't think he believes he's not an NFL player, but he's a reach.
Yeah, I sort of agree with that, but I'd also say this. On Washington, there were 2 good receivers ahead of Jalen Polk. He doesn't have that problem in New England.
No, that's true.
It's not like 2 good receivers blocking him.
I think, and we'll ask Thor Nystrom about it when he joins us here
if
in a moment.
If that's what, like, when he, like, disappears, where you don't see him as much as 2 guys clearly better ahead of him. I don't know you have that.
I think his point is, where did McMillan go? Was McMillan a 4th or a 5th round pick?
I don't know.
So, like, Polk should go after that, I think is the point. Who? McMillan was a 2nd round pick? Yeah, no, I know. We'll get to that. But
I'm looking it up right now.
But was McMillan? What was McMillan? Where was he drafted? Is what I would like to know.
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay,
Either way, I think that you know his injury history is part of the reason maybe why he slipped a little bit. That's pretty common. You know, if he missed a bunch of time because he was hurt, and this other guy came in and played well and had a bunch of 100-yard games, like I don't think that necessarily
92 by the way
takes away from him.
92. So that's 3rd round pick.
Yeah, 92nd pick.
So maybe Polk should be like a 4th round pick. Again, we'll get to this with Thor Nystrom, but it is a 2 for Tuesday here on WWE.
Went to Tampa.
What is it?
It's a 2 for Tuesday. 2 for Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Be caller 9 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0937, and you get 2 tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Giants this Thursday at Fenway Park. Again, caller 9 right now, contest line, 617-931-0937, 2 tickets to see the Red Sox and the Giants Thursday at Fenway Park. Final pair of tickets we're giving away here today on Jones and Mego with Arcan. We gave them away all day, starting with the Greg Hill Show through Gresham Fourier, all part of a 2 for Tuesday. Here on EEI. Are Giants fans going to take over the same way Cubs fans did? I don't think so, right?
I feel like it's a little early in the season for that. I don't know.
I mean, the Cubs fans took over.
Not on Sunday, they didn't. I had boots on the ground on Sunday, and apparently on Sunday it was all Noah Kahan?
Kahan? Who is that? I saw him at
I'm not sure who he is.
He's one of yours. He's from Vermont.
Yeah, but who is he?
He's some like singer.
He's like a folk singer, kind of. He's like
folk. Oh, he's a musician. I didn't even know what he did.
And
he's like a heartthrob.
Pitch.
Yeah. And he had a bad first pitch, and apparently there was like a lot of his fans there that sort of drowned out the Cubs fans. So Sunday it wasn't all Cubs fans, but Friday and Saturday I saw a lot of them.
Yeah, I would say San Francisco is a lot further away.
Yeah, I don't think Giants fans are going to.
LA is far away. They came here.
I don't think they're going to bang out the ballpark the same way Cubs fans did. But again, good luck with those tickets. You'll be at the ballpark on Thursday for that game. We'll get back to your phone calls here on the Patriots and their draft. When do we expect Drake May to get out there and play? You can jump in on that. Plus, your reaction to Thor Nystrom giving the Patriots an F for the draft and joining us right now here on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI is Thor Nystrom of Fantasy Pros. What's going on, Thor? Welcome back.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great. I got to be honest. I graded it a B. I'm no expert, though, and a lot of people seem very high on the draft here. It was refreshing to see a different perspective on the draft. Why F?
Well, so I'll say first off, I always have to give this context. I grade on a curve. So every single year there's two A pluses, there's two Fs. And the way that I do that, it's based on an ROI metric that I do right after the draft, where I'm comparing where my board was at in comparison to where the teams drafted the guys. So you have a modified trade chart where the points are put onto the slots that the teams picked. And then you also put that onto where those guys were on my board, you know, my 500 board, whatever. And you could say that the Patriots and I did not agree on the way that we viewed the prospects this year.
I want to ask you particularly about Wallace, the tackle that they took in the third round. How do you feel about the idea of him playing left tackle and where they decided to fill that huge area of need if he is going to be left tackle in their draft process?
I just, you know, I think it's going to take a while there. There's a lot of polishing there that needs to happen. They obviously think that he is closer than I did. The left tackle thing in particular, and especially if they think that that is going to happen early on, I think that is concerning for me. I don't see that. To me, that was more of a project guy taken later on. And maybe a couple years, there's some things to like there as far as for the future. But to me, that was more of a developmental project type guy. And so looking at him as a guy that in the short term could play left tackle, that would be concerning to me, I think.
So for the first time, Thor, this is the first time since we can even remember that they drafted this many offensive players. What's your sort of take on teams that do that, that go almost all either offense or defense and take a bunch of stabs at certain positions? How much more likely is that to sort of improve their chances on hitting on someone?
Well, in this class, that's something I certainly would have advocated for. This was such a good offensive class, and we saw that with the record 14 straight guys going off the board at the jump. So the inclination, I think, was there certainly, and a lot of different teams went that direction. Next year, you have sort of a different thing qualitatively. Defense, I think, is going to lead the dance as far as that goes. So I definitely didn't have any issue with that. And, you know, I say in the write-up vis-a-vis the Patriots draft where if Drake May becomes a superstar, this draft is a smashing success. It's all going to come down to that. So, and you know, I've acknowledged many times that Drake May has that ceiling. I think I see Drake May's ceiling similarly to a lot of other people. I was slightly lower on him than some. I ranked him eighth overall in the class, just because I think there's a little bit higher risk there, just because there's some what I refer to as weeds in his game that I think need to get pulled out initially. What I would do is exercise some patience there initially, and go slow with him initially and try to pull some of those different things out, you know, early on in his career, start him on the bench. But that's what it's going to come down to with this Patriots class.
Thor Nystrom, Fantasy Pros, joining us here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. We were just reading from your overview, the F that you gave the Patriots. You had some great numbers, I think, numbers that I hadn't seen anywhere else. On Jalen Polk, you feel like it was a reach. Why do you feel that way? Effectively because you called him fool's gold, I think. He was really the three in the offense, despite the numbers looking like he was the number two there.
Yeah, that's right. Jalen Polk, I think if Jalen McMillan, the other Washington receiver outside of Roma Dunze, if Jalen McMillan never gets injured in September last year, I don't know that Jalen Polk goes above the fifth round in this class. When Jalen McMillan gets injured in September, that was when Jalen Polk, who had always been the obvious and clear wide receiver three after those guys, a distant wide receiver three, he finally steps into the wide receiver, gets elevated to the wide receiver two role. I think it was four of the next five games, he goes over 100 yards. The issue is when, you know, and McMillan's out then at this point. And McMillan tries to work his way back in October, a couple different games, but his knee wasn't up for it. The cutting wasn't working, so he immediately had to get yanked from those games. McMillan doesn't end up coming back until later on in November. But during down the stretch there, Jalen Polk, you know, during the run of Washington going to the CFP, the national championship game and stuff like that, Jalen Polk goes back to being the wide receiver three. In particular, when McMillan gets back on the field, Polk over the last five, six games was averaging less than 40 yards a game. Two of those games in one of the country's most high-powered offenses during this run where they go to the national title game against the better defenses, two of those games, even though he was active and healthy, he has zero catches. The stat that I put in there for, you know, for people to consider on this, in the 20 games the last two seasons when Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk both completed full games together at Washington, Jalen McMillan, 124 catches, 1,657 yards, 14 touchdowns. Jalen Polk, 68 catches, 1,210 yards, 9 touchdowns. When those two guys were on the field together, Jalen Polk was way behind Jalen McMillan as far as in the offensive pecking order as the wide receiver three, and yet Jalen McMillan goes, 55 slots later than him. To me, that's just the context of the situation of the, you know, the injury that happened in September. If you look at the 2022 stuff of Jalen McMillan and compare that to the stuff of Polk this past season, I think it's pretty clear that Jalen McMillan, or at least in my eyes, is a better receiver than Jalen Polk. And I think Kalen DeBoer, the Washington offensive guy, their head coach that is now the coach at Alabama, it seems from the usage that he had and the way he was using those guys that he agrees with me.
Okay, but what if you throw Polk into a situation where the only other real weapons are a tight end in Hunter Henry and an undersized, pretty much slot guy in DeMario Douglas, and he gets a lot more targets? Could we see his numbers improve? Do you think his game itself translates to what the Patriots are probably going to be looking to do under Alex Van Pelt?
So it seems like they might be viewing him, you know, because you have Pop Douglas there in the slot. It seems like that position is accounted for. I see we might just have a disagreement, they and I, the way that we see his evaluation. Jalen Polk played on the outside at Washington predominantly. He did moonlight in the slot a bit, but that was more the role that McMillan played when he was on the field. And this was across from Roma Dunze, obviously, who's on the other boundary and taking all the attention away that, you know, that we know that Roma Dunze gets whatnot. The thing that I like about Polk, I love his hands. That speaks for itself. The guy doesn't drop anything, but I don't believe that he has the athletic traits to be able to win on the outside in the NFL consistently in the way that you're going to want for one of your two guys out there. I saw him as a non-explosive slot receiver, an efficiency guy for sure. He's going to catch anything within his kitchen, absolutely, but not a guy that is going to stretch the defense down the field.
Is he Myers?
Could see that. Yeah, I mean I think that would be on the higher end of the if the bonanza of the spectrum there. But yeah, when I'm looking in the slot, I want to have more upside there, you know, as far as the explosive element, stretching the defense just a little bit more, and just as far as something like that. McMillan is, you know, as far as like the efficiency guy, elements of his game working out of the slot a little bit more. I've seen him push the defense a little bit more down the field as a slot.
All right, so you think they reached on Polk, but according to your writing, you like the pick of Javon Baker. What do you like about him, and do you think he should have been picked sooner than he was? He thinks that. Do you think that?
I love Javon Baker. So this is the pick that the Patriots made that I absolutely adored. I think that this one is a steal, and I think people missed it on Javon Baker during this process, in part because of circumstances. You know, he comes out as a ballyhooed recruit, signs with Nick Saban's Crimson Tide. It's no shame that you couldn't get on the field initially when you're surrounded by NFL first and second round picks there at Alabama. So then he goes to UCF. His ADOT, you know, you look at that past couple of years, was one of the highest in the FBS, and he was a downfield killer. So people might have seen him as a one-trick pony. But if you take the time to go through his entire cut-ups, you're going to notice something really interesting. That kid wins at every level of the field when he was afforded the opportunity to do that. The Gus Mills on offense, they throw it down the field so often. So that was the aspect of his game that was leveraged. Plus, UCF, they had John Rhys Plumlee, who is this halfway baseball player on the side. Accuracy was not really his thing, but he could push the ball down a little bit, and then he'd get injured. The backup quarterback would come in. The throwing over the intermediate level, hitting him, Javon Baker on the hands in space, was not the forte of the quarterbacks that they had there. But he could do all that different stuff. You would see it. He has this dynamic release package. I think I have my write-up. You better bring your Tap Dan shoes and your boxing gloves with him off the line. Gives you a different look every single time. Like I said, love the hands, love the route running with him, wins at every level, good after the catch, certainly good down the field, and he is a competitor. The other thing with Javon Baker, and you guys are already getting a sense of his attitude, and this might be part of the – I think this is explicitly part of the reason, too, why he fell down the board. Javon Baker ardently believes that he was this class's best receiver. He believes that. He has this attitude of, I am the best. Last year's Oklahoma game, he got a lot of crap because, he blew the kiss towards the Oklahoma sideline when he had that long touchdown. People forget that was at the end of the first half, answering an Oklahoma touchdown. That kept UCF close in that game. UCF was close in that game till the very end. A two-point conversion right before the end would have gotten UCF into overtime with Oklahoma in that game with a chance to pull a huge upset. The only reason they were there is because Javon Baker was lighting up that undefeated Sooner team all game long. That blowing the kiss thing, that was Javon Baker telling the Sooners, like, we are here. You're going to have to deal with me this entire game. That attitude of his, like, you know, I was talking about this in my write-up and all spring. To me, it reminds me of Stephon Diggs, another guy who had gotten pushed down the board that some people, when they talked to during the pre-draft process, was like, oh, man, you know, I'm not sure about that guy and how he's going to fit into our building. Because Stephon Diggs is another guy who was like, I am way better than all you people think. Put me out there. I will prove it. And it comes across as some people, in a way that they find abrasive or this way or that way. I believe in Javon Baker. And obviously the Patriots do, too. I think Javon Baker is going to ascend to the top of the Patriots receiving room in very, very quick order. That's just how I see the kid.
Okay. We'll have our popcorn ready for him. I saw something similar in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, but I do have a similar question. It sounds like you're very high on Javon Baker because he was behind a couple of receivers at Alabama, but when given an opportunity, he thrived. But you're down on Jalen Polk because he proved that he was good when given an opportunity, but then took a back seat. That feels a little inconsistent. Does it come down to the athleticism and the traits you see with Baker? Is that why you're higher on him?
Yeah, Baker, when he was on when he goes to UCF during that time, he was the best player on the field in for instance, that Oklahoma game, last season. He was that dude. It was the circumstances of the offensive situation, that the player throwing him the ball, whatever. You can't argue the circumstances as far as Polk goes. When Polk goes to Washington in 2022, he had the same chance that Odunze and McMillan had, as far as targets goes. He's the clear number three, like I said, in that pecking order. The same thing that he was in 2023 when that season begins, he gets the opportunity during this 5-6 game stretch against some of the lesser Pac-12 defenses. During that stretch, when McMillan is off the field, then when McMillan comes back, Jalen Polk, interestingly, returns right back to where he was before as that tertiary option. And this was during that, again, that was that run to the college football national title. Washington, their prerogative is just to win, right? Like they're not going to make decisions with their offensive usage that go against that prerogative. So to me, that is fairly telling, as far as that goes, and a slight difference.
Okay, you can check out his work, Thor Nystrom, Thor KU. I like to call him Thor Q at Fantasy Pros. Thor, we enjoy your work. Thanks for taking the time.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Thor Nystrom, as all our guests on the Fantasy. From Fantasy Pros, rather, joining us here on Jones and Mego with Arkin. So, I was thinking the same thing. Twitch, I think it was DeMornay pointed this out in the Twitch chat. It's like one guy got an opportunity and thrived and he likes him. The other guy got an opportunity, thrived, and he doesn't like him, feels a little inconsistent. I think it comes down to traits. I do also.
I think like him is underselling it.
No, but well, he said he's like Stephon Diggs.
He loves him.
But so look, I think those numbers about Jalen Polk are very telling. But Javon Baker couldn't get on the field at Alabama. 617-779-7937. We'll continue here with all your feedback. And while one writer in town feels very strongly about an extension for Elliott Wolf. Let's get to it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Get in on the discussion.
It's all topics we've covered here in the first hour and a half plus.
Yeah, so what is the single seem like then?
Women lowering their standards. All these things that we've discussed.
Jones and Mego on WEEI.
His contract is up in a couple of weeks. And what I would say to the crafts, to ownership, who chose him over Matt Groh and anyone else over available in the market, even on a short-term basis, he's done exactly what he told you he would do. Extend core players. Spend wisely in free agency. Draft a quarterback and weaponize the offense by drafting receivers around him. If you are unhappy with the job that Elliott Wolf does, you have not been paying attention to his own words. And I would give the overall offseason a B to a B plus. I think a solid, really good start, laying the foundation. You missed in Calvary Ridley, it happens. But overall, this man has lived up to his word, and this franchise is in a better place than it was 4 months ago, and it's mostly because of him. Extend him next and keep this ball rolling.
Andrew Callahan on the Pats Interference Podcast. I'm very much impressed with the work of Elliott Wolf, which the only move I like that they've done all offseason, I don't even think Wolf did it. I don't even think Wolf made the pick. And that's Drake May.
I was going to say, you don't think he signed Austin Hooper himself? You know, the one like, big move of the offseason?
If you like Barmore and Duggar and Uche and Unwenu and all the other bums they brought back from last year, fine. So be it. I'm not crazy about any of those, but if you want to give them credit for it, fine. And if you like their other draft picks better than me, fine. I gave them a B on their draft, unlike our guy Thor Nystrom, who just joined us. If you missed any of that, Odyssey app, use the rewind feature. Very high on Javon Baker, very low on the rest of their draft. It's all about Drake May for me. But if he gets a B or a B plus for the job he's done this offseason, what are some of these other GMs who went out and actually made big, significant, what do they get? Like, what's he grading them?
Hall of Fame induction.
I mean, my goodness. Some of these other teams, like, what do the Bears get for their offseason?
I was just thinking
they had an incredible offseason.
What did Chicago get?
A plus, plus, plus. They break the scale. So, look, I think Elliott Wolf is going to get an extension. I just don't think it's for any of the reasons he just listed. I think he's going to get an extension because he did what ownership wanted, and he was a good little boy, and he made the pick at three. And so he gets to keep his job. I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I mostly like the draft. I just can't get over free agency. I mean, look, like, all due respect to my friend Andrew, the Alpha Bald, like, I really feel, remember him saying on his very same podcast, if you fail on getting Calvin Ridley, that is a total fail. I remember him saying that. And you failed at that. That was a pretty big test of what you can do in this position.
He did write that. I forgot about that.
Now, I'm not saying that Elliott Wolf shouldn't get extended. I think that they should interview other people. I think he's probably going to get extended. I think a lot of this has been mostly a formality from ownership. And so I don't think it really matters. I think he's going to get extended, probably in part because he mostly did in the draft what they wanted him to do. And he didn't throw around a whole lot of money like willy-nilly in free agency. He didn't burn some cash, like Jerod Mayo said infamously several months ago. But at the same time, I can't sit there and go like, well, he really knocked my socks off. Because one, I already showed my feet on Twitch today. And two, like, I just don't think that he did enough in free agency. I can't get over it.
Tony M60 in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, says, Jones, stop with the clickbait. Kraft made the pick crap. You know it's crap.
Are you clickbait talking again?
I mean, I think
you're getting people to click on the talk.
I guess. So you think one of two things. Either owners just never intervene, or this owner here specifically is very different from every other owner and doesn't intervene. And that's what you believe, and if that's what you believe, Tony, that's fine. And if you think it's clickbaity, that's fine too. I think ownership, Jonathan, specifically intervened on this pick. And I think Washington's ownership intervened on Jaden Daniels, and Chicago made sure Caleb Williams was the number one pick. Chicago ownership, the McCaskies, made that pick. I think that's how it works, and I just don't think Robert Kraft is any different. And I think the longer we get away from Tom Brady's tenure in New England, we realize just how much Robert Kraft is like every other owner in the league. He's not special. He's not any some excellent, brilliant owner. He's just like every other owner that just happened to employ Tom Brady. And I think he acts like every other owner.
He does some things differently from other owners. Like, he wields his power differently from other owners. All that TV stuff with CBS, that's not what I meant. But, like, in terms of, like, his image and sort of everything else. I don't think that every owner's like that. I don't think every owner's as obsessed with their image and coming off a certain way as he is. Not every owner puts out a big documentary explaining it was actually me. I'm the one, the reason why we had this big dynasty. Not every owner smears their coach on the way out the door. Like, you know what I mean?
Do you think he's closer to Jerry Jones than other owners in the league?
Yes.
Yes, okay, definitely. So you think he's worse than other owners? Fine. That's fair.
Or you'd say more involved.
I think this has been a brutal offseason for him.
For sure.
In every possible way.
Look, if you don't believe that Kraft meddles, then I don't know what to tell you. He's admitted as much. He's admitted he's meddled on Garoppolo, on Gronk. He was ready to jump in there and fire Bill if Brady and Bledsoe didn't work out. And so he's admitted as much. But if you don't believe it, you don't believe it. I'm not going to change your mind. 617-779-7937. Does Elliott Wolf deserve an extension? You can jump in with all your thoughts on the Patriots draft. When will Drake May get out on the field? You heard him yesterday here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY. Use the rewind feature to listen to our full interview, his first extended interview in Boston. Meanwhile, we'll get back to the Celtics. We do have a bit of an update on Kristaps Porzingis. We'll share that for you next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.